Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for godly mothers, those tender-hearted, loving women that taught many of us about your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that this message today would be an encouragement to all moms and grandmas, but not just to them, Lord. We pray that these principles, Lord, would also be applied to the lives of everyone that's here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, in honor of Mother's Day, the title of the message today is Hannah, the Portrait of a Godly Mother. Our text is going to be 1 Samuel 1, verses 10 through 28. I want to start off this morning by making a statement that I believe in my heart to be very, very true. Mothers are perhaps the most powerful and influential class of people on the face of the earth. I'm going to say that again. You think about this. Mothers are perhaps the most powerful and influential class of people on the face of the earth. See, it is true. It is true that the head of the family is the father. But it's also true that the heart of the family is the mother. Now, as we look at these verses in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we are going to be introduced to a wonderful, wonderful woman named Hannah. Now, if you're familiar with these verses, if you're familiar with this chapter of Scripture, you know that Hannah did not have an easy life. Back in the Old Testament days, friends, things were rough. Life was hard. And to add to the difficulty, polygamy, that is, having more than one wife at the same time, that was a common practice. That was the case with Hannah. Her husband had another wife besides her. And to make matters even worse, Hannah was barren. She could have no children, but the other wife, she had children. This caused a tremendous rivalry between these two ladies, because the wife that had kids, she would provoke Hannah. She would tease her. She would mock her. She made Hannah's life absolutely miserable. Well, every year, Hannah's husband would take his entire family to the town of Shiloh. That is where the house of the Lord was in those days, and the priest was a man named Eli. Well, one day, when Hannah went into the house of the Lord, she cried and she begged God to give her a child. She wanted a son that would grow up to serve the Lord. She wanted a baby that she could raise and give back to God, one who would serve him all of his life. Hannah is a perfect example in the Bible of what it means to be a godly mother. And today I'm going to give you five principles of what it means to be a godly mother. So if you're a mom or you're a grandma or you hope to be a mom someday, I pray that these principles would be written on your heart. They come from the life of Hannah, but more importantly, they come from the Word of God. So you know they can be trusted. Now, some of you are sitting here thinking, oh, brother, this is going to be a waste of time for me because I'm never going to be a mom or a grandma. I'm a man. These principles apply to your life too. They apply to any godly person. So pay attention. It just so happens that these principles today we're going to apply to the life of a mother. Principle number one is the principle of a godly priority. Hannah had her priorities right, folks. Take a look in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 and the first part of 11. We read, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow and said, Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son." Like so many women, Hannah is saying, God, give me a baby. I want a child. I want a child of my own. This was the desire of her heart. And this desire was put in her heart by God himself. You say, how do I know that? Here's how I know that. Because Hannah understood that the Word of God teaches us over and over and over again. Children are a blessing. They're a gift from God. Psalm 127 in verse 3 says, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I want you to listen to a couple verses in Psalm 128. They describe the man that is blessed by God. These verses, Psalm 128, verses 3 and 4. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the side of thine house, and thy children like olive plants around thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. See, I'm going King James on you today. Now, let me tell you something, folks. There is a terrible, terrible problem in America when children are viewed as burdens instead of blessings. There is a terrible, terrible problem when little babies are being put to death in their mother's womb. This is a subject that absolutely breaks my heart. The mother's womb should be the safest place on earth for a baby, but for many babies today, it's the most dangerous place. It becomes a death chamber for many babies. Now, there are those in America today who would love to have children, but for whatever reason, they're not able to. And to you folks that may be in that situation, let me say, God knows your heart. He knows your heart, he understands, and he cares. And God bless you. But there are another group of people in America today that could have kids, but they don't, because they want more of this world's goods. These are the people that say things like, well, preacher, if I had kids, either me or my spouse, one of us, we might have to give up one of our great paying jobs. Well, we might have to sell one of our expensive foreign cars. And then there's those Caribbean vacations we might have to give up. Well, preacher, if I had kids, those children would make me poor. You got it all wrong. Children do not make rich people poor. They make poor people rich. Can I get an amen? The first principle that made Hannah a godly mother was that she had a godly priority. She viewed having children as a great blessing from God. And that brings us to our second principle, which is the principle of a godly prayer. You see, when you get your priorities right, when you get your priorities in line with the will of God, you're going to start praying according to the will of God. Look at verse 10 again. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. For all of you moms in here, and even you dads, but especially you moms, let me ask you a question. When did you start praying for your children? Not after they were born, before they were born, right? In many cases, you didn't even wait until after your children were conceived to start praying for them. Before you ever knew you were going to be a father or a mother, you began praying then for your unborn children, didn't you? That's what Hannah does. Before she was ever knew she was going to have a child, she's praying. She's praying for a son that she doesn't even have yet. She understood that children ought to come as an answer to prayer. As I was studying for this message, I thought about all the women of the Bible that were barren, but then by the grace of God, they were able to conceive. They had children who grew up to change the world. In the scripture, we read about Sarah, who was barren. And then she had a baby boy named Isaac when she was 90 years old. Isaac's son was Jacob, who fathered the 12 tribes of Israel. In a generation after that, Jacob's daughter-in-law, Rachel, prayed, "Give me children or I'll die." God heard that prayer and blessed her with Joseph. A man who saved the entire Israelite nation, albeit at that time was only around 70 people, but he saved them from dying from a severe famine. He became the most powerful man in Egypt, except for Pharaoh himself. There is the story of Ruth. Not only was Ruth without children, Ruth was a widow. But she prayed to God, and not only did God give her a loving husband, he gave her a beautiful son named Obed. Now, some of you are saying, Obed? Who is that, man? I mean, I've heard of Isaac, and I've heard of Joseph, but I never heard of this Obed guy. Well, I bet you heard of his grandson. He's a fellow named King David. And from his bloodline came the Lord Jesus Christ. It was through prayer and the grace of God that Mary's cousin Elizabeth, in her old age, gave birth to a son named John. He grew up to be John the Baptist, the man who paved the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And now here in 1 Samuel, we have Hannah, this barren woman who poured her heart out to God and was blessed with a little son named Samuel. The greatest man in the Old Testament between Moses and King David. He was born in answer to godly prayer. Hannah prayed, Lord, give me a child that I may give him back to you. And by the way, do you know what the name Samuel means? It means heard of God. She prayed for a child and God heard that prayer and he answered it. You know, often we tend to pray for things like this. God, give us a cure for cancer. God, give us a cure for AIDS. We need a cure for these terrible diseases. It may very well be that God sent us the answer to those prayers, but his life was snuffed out in his mother's womb. God may have sent us the next great doctor, the next great scientist, the next world leader, the best president America has ever seen. God may have sent us an evangelist greater than Billy Graham, one who would lead millions upon millions of people to the Lord. But in the name of choice, his mother took his life before it ever began. That brings us to our third point, the principle of a godly purpose. Hannah had a godly priority, she had godly prayers, and now we're going to see that she also had a godly purpose. Look at verse 11. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor shall ever be used on his head. What's that mean? No razor ever be used on his head. Folks, this is a reference to an Old Testament tradition called the vow of the Nazarite. When a Israelite male was to be separated for service to God, either for his entire life or for a particular amount of time, there were some stipulations to being a Nazarite. Let me read some to you. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 5. During the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must be holy until the period of his separation to the Lord is over. He must let the hair of his head grow long. That reminds you of anybody else in the Bible? I think it does. Now, in effect, what Hannah is saying is that she wants a holy child. She wants a child that's going to be separated to God for his entire life. She had a godly priority, a godly prayer, and a godly purpose. And because of that, God gave her a son. Now, if you pray and you ask God to give you a child before he's born or before she's born, folks, you got to continue to pray. Your prayers have to follow that child. You got to have a purpose for that child. Now, there are those, I'm sure, here today that would tell me, if this was question and answer session, which it's not, That happens on Sunday night at Bible study, by the way. There are those who would say, well, I pray for my children, Pastor, but it seemed like those prayers don't ever get answered. Let me ask you a question. What is your desire for your children? Is it health? Is it success? Is it popularity? Is it riches? Do you know that there are many people today, even in the church, who think it would be a tragedy if their son or daughter was called into the mission field? There are those who think it would be a huge waste of their child's potential if he was called into the ministry as a preacher. Folks, let me say this as kindly as possible. If you think that a life lived in service to God is a tragedy or a waste, then your priorities, your prayers, and your purpose for your children, they're twisted. You know what my desire is for my children? They can be found in the short book of 3 John. It's one chapter. Verse 4, and I can say this from my heart with the Apostle John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. I want to share a wonderful prayer with you that you can pray for your children or for your grandchildren. This prayer is in the Word of God, so you know if you pray it, you're praying the will of God. It's in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. This is actually a prayer that Paul, the Apostle Paul, prayed for the church at Ephesus, but this is a beautiful prayer that you can pray for your children. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. You might want to write that address down. This is the prayer. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Ain't that a good prayer to pray for your kids? You know, the reason that a lot of our prayers for our children go unanswered is because we're not praying for the right things. We're like James tells us in James 4:3, when you ask, you receive not, because you ask with the wrong motives. Hannah had a godly purpose. She said, God, I want a child that'll serve you. Now, I know you can't make your children serve God. You can't force your children to be holy. Now, my wife Sheila and I, we have goals for ourselves, but we have desires for our children. What's the difference? The only person you can have a goal for is yourself. You have desires for others. Our desire is for godly children. Our goal is to be godly parents. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't say for sure that my children will be godly. I pray that they'll be godly, but I can set a goal for myself of being a godly father to my kids. So you have desires for your children, and you have goals for yourself. Hannah's desire was that her little son would grow up to be a mighty man of God. She had a godly priority, a godly prayer, a godly purpose, and that brings us to the fourth point, the principle of godly persistence. In verses 12 through 20, I'm going to kind of quickly move through this narrative of what happened. As Hannah was praying, she was greatly troubled in spirit, and she was praying in spirit silently to God, but as she was doing this, her lips were moving. Some of you folks read like that, don't you? You're reading silently, but your lips are moving. Nothing's coming out of your mouth, though. That's how she was praying. Well, when Eli, the priest, saw this, he wrongly assumed that she was drunk, and he began to kind of get angry with her. He said, how long will you stay drunk? Put away your wine. And he started kind of going off on her. Well, Hannah says, no, it's not what you think at all. I haven't been drinking a thing. I'm not a wicked woman. I'm simply here in the house of the Lord pouring out my heart. I'm in great anguish and sorrow, and I'm just praying to God. Well, when Eli heard that, he He realized that he was wrong, and he said, well, then go in peace, and may God grant you your request. Well, that little encouragement right there from Eli, that lifted Hannah's spirits. We're told that her face was no longer downcast. Her appetite returned, and she actually went and got something to eat. The next day, she went back to the house of the Lord, worshiped with her husband, and they left. And then we're told that God remembered Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to a son and named him Samuel. Now, not only did Hannah pray before Samuel was born, she prayed after he was born, and she prayed a lot. So what's the principle here? How do I apply this to my life? No matter how dark, no matter how desolate, no matter how hopeless your situation seems, pray and continue to pray. This is godly perseverance, folks. God does not always answer our prayers immediately. Sometimes we have to wait. We have to persevere. We've got to be persistent. Let me share a few verses with you that talk about waiting on the Lord and being persistent. Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then the verse goes on from there. Psalm 37, 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 27, 14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Folks, over and over again, we're told to wait on the Lord. And Hannah did this, and what was the result? Because of her godly persistence, the Lord turned her sadness to gladness. Once again, remember, men, this doesn't just apply to moms. It applies to fathers or any other godly person, regardless of the situation. Now, in the life of Hannah, this wonderful godly mother, we have seen godly priorities, we've seen godly prayers, a godly purpose, we've seen godly persistence, and now we're going to see our fifth point, the principle of godly persuasion. Now here's how it works. You get your priorities right, you get your prayers right, you get your purpose right, your persistence right, and then you will begin to do what you alone can do to persuade your child for Jesus Christ. Look at verses 21 and 22. When the man Elkanah, that's Hannah's husband, his name is Elkanah. When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah didn't go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. But for right now, I'm going to teach this baby boy what only I can teach him. I am going to persuade him to love God. I'm going to teach him how to worship God. I'm going to teach him what it takes to be a man of God. And in verse 23, Hannah's husband agrees. He says, do what seems best to you. Stay here till the boy is weaned, and may the Lord make his word good. So she stayed home until the boy was weaned. In verses 24 through 28, we read that when Samuel was big enough, that he no longer needed to nurse at his mother's breast, she took him to the house of the Lord in the town of Shiloh. She presented him to Eli the priest, and she said, I'm the woman that was here a while back. And if you'll remember, I was praying in great anguish. You told me to go in peace, and may God grant my request. Well, he did. He blessed me with this beautiful baby boy. And now I give him back to God that he may serve the Lord all of his life. Look at the last part of that verse. It says, and he worshiped the Lord there. That's talking about Samuel. How did this little boy even know about worshiping the Lord? Because of that fifth principle. His mother persuaded him from the time he was born. She taught him about God. She taught him to love the Lord. And she taught him to worship. She nursed him at her breast. She took care of him like no one else could do. She treasured each and every moment she had with little Samuel. And she used her time to engage in the principle of godly persuasion to put this young boy on the right path. We see this principle in the New Testament too. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So here's how this went. Timothy had a grandma. Her name was Lois. And when she became a mom, she gave birth to a little baby girl named Eunice. Well, Lois was a God-fearing woman, and she instilled those same values in her baby girl, Eunice. And when Eunice was grown, she got married, she gave birth to Timothy, and she taught those same things to Timothy. What was the result? Not much stronger of a man of God than old Timothy. He was an awful good friend to Paul. He was a very, very important man in the early church. This started with grandma and was passed down to mom and was finally passed down to Timothy. I want to talk to you for just a second about something that really upsets me. Years ago, I used to have a pretty volatile temper. God has worked on me with that, and I will tell you, I'm not 100% healed, but God is working on me. But folks, this really fires me up. When I hear somebody say that a woman is just a housewife and a mother. Just a housewife and a mother. You tell me what is more important than being a wife, a homemaker, and a mom. There's no job more important than that. And don't let any radical feminist tell you anything to the contrary. The greatest job in the world, the most important job in the world, is raising a child for Jesus Christ. What's more important than that? Let me give you some examples of the children that were produced by women who were just housewives and mothers. President Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. President George H.W. Bush, the older one, he said, my mother was the most godly person I have ever known. John and Charles Wesley, the men from whose minds and hearts came the Methodist Church, you know who taught them to love the Lord? Their mother, Susanna. So while John and Wesley may be credited with being the fathers of the Methodist Church, you know who the mother of the Methodist Church is? Susanna Wesley. The great Billy Graham has often spoken about how his godly mother raised him to love the Lord. All of these men had one thing in common: a mother who persuaded them in a godly way. A mother who persuaded them to love Jesus. As I prepare to close, I want to tell you a story about a mother and her son. This particular mother was very domineering. She was very cold. She was married 3 times. Her second husband actually divorced her because she was physically abusive to him. This woman gave birth to a little boy. He was never shown any love. He was never given any affection. He was neglected. He was shoved around. His mother would put him down. She would tell him, don't you ever bother me when I'm at work. Don't you ever call me because I don't want to be pestered by you. This young man had a high IQ, but he dropped out of high school. After he dropped out of high school, he floated around for a while, and then he joined the Marine Corps. But after being in the Marine Corps a very short time, he was kicked out and given a dishonorable discharge. The young man could not even maintain a driver's license. Finally, he left America and went to a foreign country. He met a woman there. They got married. He couldn't even make a marriage work. His wife left him. And as he reflected on his life, he just saw one failure after another. He begged his wife to come back, which she finally did. And shortly after she did, they left that foreign country and came back to America. They continued to have all kinds of problems. This guy went from job to job. He couldn't get anything. He had one talent, and one talent only. He knew how to use a rifle. The Marines taught him how to shoot. And on November 22nd, 1963, this young man took his rifle to the sixth floor of a book storage building in Dallas, Texas. And with three shots, he changed the course of a nation. This little boy's name, you already know. Lee Harvey Oswald. As I was preparing this message, I wondered how different things might have been if Lee Harvey Oswald had had a mother who knew Jesus. If he had had a mother who took her up in his arms and taught him about the Lord. One who said, "Lee, you can call me anytime. It doesn't matter if I'm at work, sweetheart, because you are more important than any job. You're the most precious thing on this earth to me." How different things might have been. Do you know what children need? I'm going to make this real simple for you so you can take it with you. ABC, children need acceptance, they need belonging, and they need confidence. And as we close, let's thank the Lord for godly mothers, and to all you ladies, may God help you to be one. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this wonderful story of Hannah, this godly mother. Lord, we do ask your blessings upon all the moms and grandmas that are here today. All of the sacrifices they made so that we might have better lives. And Lord, if there be someone here today that maybe does not have a very good relationship with their mother, Father, I pray that your spirit of forgiveness would intervene in the heart of the child that may be here today. That they would find forgiveness, that they would find some compassion, and that even today they would reach out and give their mom a call. And Lord, I also pray for comfort for those whom have a sad day today as their mothers are no longer here. Father, I pray that you would bring them comfort. Have your perfect way in the remainder of this day. Thank you, Lord, for godly mothers. Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you.